You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And scripture reading today is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
We're going to have some tech support today. I hope it'll touch your heart, and I think God will use it to meet your needs. Before we begin, let's join our hearts and minds in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain, the joy of seeing the flowers begin to bloom and the buds starting to come out. We thank you, Lord, for the glory of seeing that these things are constant and always will be as long as the earth is, because you've made it that way. It brings assurance to our heart how awesome you are and how sovereign you are in all the matters, not just of men, but in the universe, all the matters that there are. Father, today, as we look into the Scriptures and we study, we pray that the Scriptures speak of your Son and the glory of who he is, the wonderfulness of his love, the faithfulness and obedience that he demonstrated. May even we, in our own lives, try to emulate that. We thank you, Father, now that as we study the Scriptures, that the Spirit takes the things of Christ and makes them real to us. We pray to be hedged about, that we might not wander in our minds, but we might give full attention to the Word. And we thank you ahead of time now for these graces and the blessing that comes. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, come through Timothy, we just left one of the hallmark verses of our church, and that is to study to show yourself approved unto God. And one of the examples Paul gave there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 was the example of those who have caused some to err in verse 18. Who is Hymenaeus and Philetus? Who, concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already? And the result is that it overthrows the faith of some. Some have their faith overthrown because they follow false doctrine. They follow false teachers. Teachers who don't understand or know the Word of God. It behooves each of us not to rely upon them, but to rely upon the greatest teacher that we all have available to each of us, and that is the Holy Spirit, who will take the things of Christ and make them real. Now, Paul starts this next section with the word nevertheless. I like that word. Nevertheless. Always more than what you just heard. Nevertheless means not in last place, not in second place even. Nevertheless. Even more important than this. What? What we just read about. Nevertheless. Verse 19. The foundation of God standeth sure. Hallelujah. That foundation everyone knows here. You should know. It's Christ. There's no other foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's no other foundation than that which has been laid in him, whereby man must be saved. No one other than Christ. Christ is the only one. You know, man tries so many ways. In our lesson this morning, a Sunday school lesson, it is so enlightening, and there's many more things to get out of it than some of the things that I mentioned here, because this guy bridges is so deep in the Scripture. But he said, if salvation were a work that was not just outside the imagination of man, then no one could be saved. If we could save ourselves, is what he's saying, then no one would turn to the real Savior. That's an amazing thought. If salvation were not just outside the imagination, you know, and it's not really just outside, it's as high as the heavens are above the earth. You know, that's the wisdom of God. And that's this foundation he's talking about. It's always Christ. We always get back to what he has done. It says that the foundation of God standeth sure. Why is that? Because of his faithfulness? Because of his obedience? Because his taking on a form, being found in the form of a man and taking upon himself that form, the form of a servant, and doing what God had asked him to do. God the Father had asked him to do. That's an amazing effort. Men all over the world, for centuries and for generations and for centuries, have tried to find another way than what God has done. But God has done it, and he's accomplished it, and it's over. But men are always trying to find another way, and they come in with all their different, especially the Eastern mystics. Something that was brought up again in our Sunday school lesson was Psalms 46:10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." Well, they use that verse. They use all kinds of religious sayings in their Eastern mysticism in order to prove and to capture the unintelligent, the ones who haven't studied. They use that verse, "Be still and know that I, right here, I'm going to look deep inside myself. I'll find out that I am God." What a lie. What a lie. And, you know, we've got in the church to name it and claim it. You know, they say if you speak it, it'll be so. Okay, I'll jump out of this 10-story building, I won't die. It ain't going to work. It's like these two guys. Now look at these two guys as Hymenaeus and Philetus. These two guys, in verse 17, their word eats as a gangrene or a cancer. Do you remember that? How utterly devastating it is in the life of a person, false religious teaching. It reminds me of the two kids in grade school. They're sitting there at lunch. Kids open up. One of the kids opens up his lunch sack and he pulls out a sandwich and he looks in it and goes, "Peanut butter and jelly. Can you believe that?" The other kid just looks at him. Well, the next day, they come to the lunchroom, they sit down, the kid opens up his sack and he pulls out a sandwich, and he opens it up, and he goes, "Peanut butter and jelly, again. Can you believe that?" Kid goes, "No." Next day, they come to the lunchroom. Kid opens up his sack, pulls out his sandwich. "Oh, peanut butter and jelly. Can you believe peanut butter and jelly?" The kid says, "Well, why does your mom always do that?" He goes, "Don't you talk that way about my mom. I make these sandwiches." They create a problem that doesn't exist, and they're the problem. Yeah, they feed on themselves. They create the problem, and then they point it out. There's a problem. We got to fix it. When we turn to God and when we learn to believe, and this is part of the today's lesson is sliders. Sherry and I got this last night. Just talking about it, saying there's this idea in Scripture I've come up with, and I shared it with you, and I'm going to share it with you as we move along. And I said, and here are the key points, and we finally got it to SLDR. And she said, sliders. Sliders are important today. Y'all familiar with sliders? There's hamburgers out there about the size of a quarter, half dollar, and they charge you $5 for it. You talk about it. Yes, I didn't say it, but that's exactly what I was thinking. It's all in marketing, isn't it? It's all in marketing. And the devil's just the best at it, and we'll see a little bit of that today. Sliders is our term today. Sliders, SLDR. And what we see is in the believer, well, God knows, it says, those that are his. Look at verse 19. "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his." Now, a seal's a wonderful thing. And this is in the house of God, this idea of a seal. And God has sealed us. It says in Ephesians 1:13, a seal stands forth and says, this is of a certain, ownership or possession or belongs to someone or has this purpose. The seal is an amazing idea. And God knows. That's what the first seal is. Some people think there's two seals here. The first seal is that the Lord knows then they're his. But that's not my problem. My problem is knowing, am I his? Yeah. I mean, that's what we struggle with. And that's why we, unless we turn to this word and we read what he has to say and what he's accomplished and by faith take it. And faith is not just believing. Faith is a little different than believing, although it incorporates believing. Paul says to the jailer, when he asks the question, or the jailer asks the question, what must I do to be saved? And he says, you must believe. Yeah, believing is the most important thing. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not on ourselves and not on someone else. Who is just like us, made of flesh, and dies and will not resurrect himself. See, that's what sets Jesus apart. That's what sets him totally apart from everyone else. He didn't just die and remain in the tomb. He conquered death. He can give us life after death. Isn't that right? That's, we're heading towards this, the Resurrection Sunday. Several weeks from now, we're heading towards. I almost put He Lives in the Psalms. Well, that probably would have been a good one. He lives. He does. And that's what sets him apart from all of those other gurus and those people who are wannabes. They can never assure you. There's no blessed assurance that you can have. But you can have blessed assurance in this foundation, in Christ. God proved it. God established it in Him that we can have eternal life. And this is eternal life, that you believe on Him whom He, God, has sent. But faith is a little bit different than just believing. Faith is belief with feet. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's not just, something. You know, a little kid in Sunday school, and the teacher, Sunday school teacher asking, what's faith? He said, well, faith is believing something that you know isn't so. No, that's not it at all. Faith is believing in something that you know is so. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. But where does faith come from? Faith comes from, hearing. That's right. And hearing the Word of God. That's where our faith comes from. We got to build on that every day, this foundation. The Lord knows them that are His. My problem is knowing that I'm His. Okay, so how do I know I am His? Let me give you four elements. Let me give you four sliders. Everybody get a slider. Well, I don't know how far four goes. I have heard two loaves and five fish went a long way one time, but four sliders. Four sliders. SLDR. The first one is that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. When you're born again, the old man is still there, but God has given you a new life. God has given you a new creation. We call it the inward man or the inner man. It's the new man. It's the new you. It's that new life that God has given you that's born of Him, of His seed, which comes from the Word. Turn to Romans chapter 8. This is probably the best verse. There's so many others, but this verse brings it out. Remember, this is the S of our sliders. This is the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Romans 8, look at verse 14. Oh, what a great chapter this is. I mean, they say if Romans is the cathedral, this chapter is, the top of it, the very crest, the spiral that stands out and everybody sees it. And I have a really unique affinity with this chapter, especially those last two verses. But 14 begins, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." God's Spirit bears witness to your spirit. You have that. You have that recognition. You know that's true. If when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you knew that all those sins were washed away and you've been cleansed and made white as snow, you knew, and you know today. And one of the things that brings it to your attention is that you love the light. You love the light. That brings us to the next letter in sliders, S-L. You love the light. The light is something that God has given to you. All men have that light. But not all men accept it. In fact, many rebel and fight against it. Come over to John chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." There can be no doubt about who that is. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it is. And notice there was a man in verse 6 that was sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. He is that light. Go back up to verse 3. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 9. This was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is that light. He is that light that we have. We loved darkness until we had light, but that was a light in us that God gave us. I don't know if this is a light of... I call it Olam, because that's what God calls it. He calls it Olam over in Ecclesiastes. He says there was Olam in our heart. We search for God. We look for God. We want to know. We want to be assured. We're constantly questioning ourselves. Past, present, and future. Where did I come from? What am I doing? And where am I going? And the ultimate, where am I going, is constantly plaguing man. But those of us who know Christ, those of us who have received Him, we don't have a question. We have assurance, because God raised him from the dead. But notice in chapter 3, in this passage with Nicodemus, Jesus says you must be born again. And we who are born again have that wonderful relationship with him through the Spirit. Because it's only the Spirit that can take the things of God and utilize them. Man can't, because the things of God to man, natural man, are foolish. In verse 17, God sent not His Son. John 3:17, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, blessed Redeemer. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. How could you not believe? Well, you follow all this other stuff that we talked about before. It's the stuff that we saw back in 2 Timothy that is full of vain babbling and profane babbling. Things that take you away from God. Things that distract you. Things that get you off course. But in verse 18, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. They would rather go that way, even though they've been given the light. Never feel bad about someone who does not accept that light. Never feel bad about someone you've witnessed to that does not accept it. It's not your job. You've done your job if you've done your witness. That's what you're supposed to do. If they reject, they don't reject you, they reject God. Have you ever been plagued about somebody who just, oh my gosh, they're going to... Well, you know, they may not be. You may just be the one who's given a little water. You know, God's the one that's going to do the redeeming, and He may do it later on down the road. Don't start counting those chickens before, or those eggs before. How's that go? Don't count your chickens before the eggs hatch. Don't go that way. You can live in tomorrow all you want and always be unhappy and dissatisfied and always disappointed today. God's still in charge of tomorrow, just like He's in charge of today. He's asking you to do what you're supposed to do. Verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world amid love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light. But see, you love the light. Sometimes it's harsh because it exposes things in your life you don't like. But that's good. We need to be exercised in our faith. We need to be challenged in our walk. We need to know what God has to say. Let me give you an example. This is so difficult. There's so many places to go, but let's go to a husband and wife. Let's go to that relationship between a husband and wife. God says they shall become one flesh. See, when a man gets married, he gets his rib back. I'd heard a guy say that. I mean, you know, I'm just saying what I heard a guy say. but you know, there is some validity to that. But men and women in a marriage relationship come under a contract. Now, when they break up, when they have a difficult time, when they are struggling, and for some reasons that are just petty, if you ever get into counseling, the best thing to do is not try to fix them. The best thing to do is find out if they want to keep their marriage. Is it something you want? The very first thing is, do you want to save your marriage? Do you want to? Are you still in love with this woman? And if the man says yes and has tears in his eyes, then he does. And if the woman says yes, I want to save it, tears in her eyes, then yes, that's a marriage that can be saved. God can work that through. Sometimes there are harder things that come into our marriage. And sometimes the husband says, no, I don't want to save this marriage. No, I don't love her anymore. And sometimes a woman will say that. And a man who says it, and the woman can sit there, and she still wants to save it, and there's tears in her eyes, and she says, oh, he doesn't want to save it because he's got himself some little honey, and he doesn't want to come home. Can that be saved? It can't be saved until that guy repents. It can't be saved until there is confession and there's an understanding and there's a brought together of a meeting of the minds with God to save that. That's kind of a contractual relationship we have with God, and it's the light that makes us desire to do what's right and to be what's right. It's the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts through His Spirit that begins to teach us the understanding of what Christ has done and what He did, so that when we're challenged to be forgiving, or when we're challenged to be tender-hearted, is that a word you know? Yeah. We're to be kind. We're to love one another. We're to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. If someone wants to be forgiven, we're to forgive. It's that kind of light that we love when we see it. That's the second letter, light. It's L. The third letter is deeds. When we have that light, we want to do deeds. And I know you're all going, wait a minute. I thought we were dealing with 2 Timothy. Well, then what are you doing in John 3? Let's get back over to 2 Timothy. There are deeds involved. We're to be involved in good deeds. That's what God has called us to do. And He says in verse 19, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And so that's that seal. And let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's that love of light. And then He brings in this idea of good deeds. Verse 20, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor and some to dishonor. I think all four categories can be honorable and can be dishonorable. It's not just the ones that are made of wood and earth that can be dishonorable. I think all four categories have their relationship in the house of God, in the great house. But I think even as a gold vessel can be dishonorable, so can an earthly or wooden vessel be dishonorable. How do we deal with that? Well, we begin to do good deeds. It's good deeds that God's called us to do. That's the walk that we have. Paul, and turn just two pages over to the right to Titus. Paul talks to Titus about this in chapter 2. Redemption involves two things. It's twofold. Redemption is to redeem us from iniquity, but also purify us unto good works. Notice in chapter 2, verse 14. Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from iniquity and purify us unto Himself, a people of His own. What's that next word? Zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. And chapter 3 goes on, verse 5, talking about our redemption. He says it wasn't by works of righteousness, which we've done. I'm still in Titus in chapter 3. Not works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Spirit. There's amazing thoughts that we just covered in S&L. Our spirit bearing witness with His Spirit, our love of the light, and now the deeds. Verse 8, same chapter. And this is a faithful saying. Do you remember Paul wrote 5 faithful sayings? 5 of them. We looked at them 2 weeks ago. And the first one begins back in chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Hold your hand right here and go back and let's look at that first one. And there's five of them. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying. You see that? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief, Paul wrote. That's why he came. And in the redemption, come back to Titus, in that redemption process, it's not just to redeem us from iniquity, but to equip us and to strengthen us and encourage us into good works. We're to be people who are zealous of good works. Verse 8 of chapter 3, this is a faithful saying. This is the fifth. We just looked at the first, and this is the fifth. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they who have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Good works. Good works. And come back to Timothy now. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In this idea of good works, in verse 21, he says, if a man purge himself from these, I kept thinking about, what is he talking about? If a man purge himself from these, he hadn't even talked about it. Well, yeah, he did back up in verse 16. Shun profane and vain babblings. Anything that leads to ungodliness, just get away from it. Flee it. He says, if a man will purge himself, we have a job to do. We're not to be involved in those kinds of things. Oh, what pain it brings. What sorrow it creates. Just think of David. David with Bathsheba. And here he was, a man who was after God's own heart. And he cried out and saw. Go over to Psalms 51 and look at this. You can almost just hear the tears as they pour down his face and drop on the floor and splat. He says in Psalms 51 verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to thy loving kindness and according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Isn't it great that God's given us a way to restore that fellowship? Unless you're walking perfect, and if you think you are, you better be careful. I hear that there's still crosses that are hanging out looking for people who are perfect, and they can still grab you, if you get my point. Yeah, every one of us, every day, has need to praise God for confession and thank Him for the restoration. He is redeeming us from iniquity, but He is purifying us unto good works. Come back to 2 Timothy. We've done this, the witness of the Spirit, the love of the light. See, this is what confirms to me that I am a child of God. This all comes together. I want to do good deeds. I don't want to do bad deeds. I want to do good deeds. Verse 22. He says, flee also youthful lust. He leaves it open. Doesn't tell you what they are. But, you know, in other places he says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I'm a man now. I'm supposed to think like a man. I'm not to think about childish things anymore. How many times do we think about childish things? One of the most obvious youthful sins that men have, it's pride. It's pride. And you talk about one of the hardest things in the world to ever get over is yourself. And that's why God says to reckon yourself dead, crucified with Christ. And that the life you now live is the Christ life that is in you. Galatians 2, verse 20. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness. Just do the right thing. Follow faith. Follow charity or love. And follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Sliders. The witness of the Spirit, the love of the light, the good deeds, and what's the R? There is a purpose in this. There is a mission you're on. There is a goal to achieve. There is a reward that you're to have, and that's your R in sliders. Your reward is, well, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember verse 11? For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Man has no foundation. You know, the foundation, and Christ is the cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone, and that's one of the names that he has in Scripture. And that comes from Psalms 118. The cornerstone that the builders have, or the stone that the builders have refused, has become the chief corner. Has become the chief corner. He is, you know what a cornerstone is when you build a building? I don't know if Devin, you know, Devin building is just amazing downtown. It's, you know, 50 stories, you know, it's got 1.8 million square feet. There's 50 elevators in it. It's taken almost 2 years and they're getting ready to move in. But like every building, there's a cornerstone. And it is set, and every other stone that is laid comes off that cornerstone. So that's, it's important that that cornerstone be exactly right. Or else everything else gets out of reference. And the whole position, or the position of the whole structure, gets out of whack. The cornerstone is the most important. In my study of the cornerstone, there's a cornerstone in Israel, in Jerusalem. And it's under, it's where the temple was built. And the Talmud and other Jewish historians believe that this was the cornerstone that God set, and he built all the earth around it. That's the history of it, but it's there. I think the Dome of the Rock is on top of it, but it's if you ever get a chance, it's an interesting thing to go and read about. They really actually talk about all, everything on the earth was created based on that cornerstone. Verse 11 tells us who our cornerstone is, Christ. Look at verse 12. Now, if any man, what are you building on? Are you building on this foundation? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You got one talent? What are you doing with it? Are you burying it? You got two talents? What are you doing with it? Are you putting it to work? Five talents? What are you doing with it? He says in verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built upon it, he shall receive what? A reward. That's Paul, when he gets to the end of life. Come on back over to Timothy in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. Now, some people may have looked at what Paul did and thought, well, I don't think those were good deeds. I mean, you remember what he said to the Cretans? And he put them down. How insensitive is that? Politically incorrect, because, you know, they think they're doing good. And everybody gets a ribbon. I bet you that's not anything new to our society. Everybody gets a trophy. First, second, last, or what? Now, I bet you there's a lot of people who didn't think Paul fought a good fight, but God thought Paul fought a good fight. He says, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, faith is so critical. And this just isn't faith in God. This is the faith that God has given you to follow what God has called you to do. And not everyone is called to do that. Not everyone is called to the calling that we have, even though it is God's truth for today. Remember, come back to chapter 3. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It's a faithful saying. This is the number 4 faithful saying. If we're dead with Him, we shall live with Him. Christ has given us life. This life is in His Son, and he who hath the life hath the Son. It is a faithful saying, if we're dead with Him, we'll live with Him. If we suffer, we'll also reign with Him. But if we deny Him, He'll deny us. Paul never denied Him. Paul never turned his back on him. Paul constantly reached out unto him. And he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I've kept that which God has committed unto me, and that which I've committed unto him, he's able to keep. But I have kept that which he's committed unto me. Doubt always comes into our mind. It says, doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, but faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? And faith answers, I. In all of this, we're to keep like that target that the tightrope walker looks at. Constantly, forever in front of us, that prize of the calling up on high, that prize of the high calling that God has given us in Christ in the heavenlies above. That's the last slider. That's your R. That's your reward. And Paul talks about it. Come over to Philippians real quick just to show you again once where it is. And I know you're really familiar with this verse in chapter 3, verse 11. But Paul emphasizes it. He says, I haven't apprehended it. Chapter 3, I said 11, but it's verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, or the calling up on high of God in Christ Jesus. That is the reward. And Paul says that over there in Timothy. He says, there's now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He didn't get that here on this earth. He earned it. There's now laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and yet there's also one for all those who look forward to his appearing. Well, flee youthful lust. Follow after righteousness. Follow after faith. Follow after love and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. A pure heart. There's only one way to have a pure heart, and that is to put pure things in the heart, because the heart is nothing more than a treasure chest. And if you have bad things and put them into your treasure chest, evil things, ugly things. You know, Jesus said that adultery and fornication and malice and anger and murder come out of the heart. The heart can bring forth those things, and it does. The heart needs to be filled like a treasure chest with the good things of God. Righteousness and love and peace and faith. Well, remember your sliders. Give you something to kind of hang on to as you go through the week ahead. But also, go back and look at these passages that speak of the sliders. The witness of the Spirit. The love of the light, the good deeds that we're to be zealous of, and last but not least, the pressing for the prize. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the impact that the Word has upon our life. May we, in our inward man, the man that has the new creation, born again from the Word, that respond with great joy. May we be faithful to that to which you called us to in that response, so that we might bring honor and glory to him who deserves it, your Son and our Savior. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.